Our next storyteller this evening is Kelly Meekins. Kelly Meekins has just finished her dissertation in genetic epidemiology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. She's excited to break away from the format of scientific PowerPoint presentations this evening. And she is also going to be moving to Australia soon, she tells me. And I guess for her line of work, that's like, you know, small gene pool over there, socialized medicine, sort of an ideal work environment. Sort of like a surfer moving to Maui. But instead of perfect waves, there's just like perfect disease vectors over there. Please help me welcome Kelly Meekins.
So this is a family story, and it's about safety and feeling safe. So this is the summer of 1984, and my family had just taken in the 4th of July fireworks at the Baltimore Inner Harbor. And we were headed back out in our small little family boat. This is a six-seater with a little hole in front, and about two people maybe could squish in there, so it's a real small boat. And we're headed out into the Chesapeake Bay, the actual bay. And we're doing this in spite of the protests of my oldest sister. She does not want to go out into the bay. It is dark out there. You can't see land. You can't see more than a few feet in front of you. And she's very concerned that we may get lost and run out of gas. Now, my father is captaining the ship. And he has German ancestry, and he has, you know, a lot of pride, and he's rather stubborn. And he's the only guy in our family. I'm the youngest of three daughters. And he really feels that he's the captain of the ship, and he needs to deliver us safely to our destination, which is our launch site and then home. And he doesn't even really acknowledge my sister. He just keeps driving the boat into the bay down the dark, deep channel. And this makes my sister just even more upset because she's not getting validation. But we keep going, and we get lost, and we run out of gas. So the next thing that comes is, I told you so. Okay, that was expected. But then, unexpected, comes the storm. Now, the Chesapeake Bay is really a pretty rough body of water on a good day. In the storm, totally unforgiving. These waves were so tall, and our boat is so small. They were actually the same size, and in some cases, splashing up over the sides of the boat. And I remember sitting there, I'm 10 years old, I'm looking towards this huge black wave that's headed straight for me, and I'm thinking, if our boat were to tip over, could I swim out from under the lip of the boat and rise to the surface? Or would I be encapsulated and just, you know, pulled down to the bottom of the seafloor? It was really scary. And each member of my family dealt with this in a very different way. So my middle sister, very practical. Early on in the storm, she says, you know what, nothing good can come of this. I'm going under the hull of the boat. I'm just going to go to sleep. Wake me up if we're drowning. And we don't see her for the rest of the night. She slept through the whole thing. My mother, she's a former restaurant owner. She does what she knows how to do. She goes into the icebox, and she emerges with this tray of Ritz crackers and cheese, and she starts passing them out like a waitress at a cocktail party if you want, you know, one of these things. And my father, okay, so we keep this little wooden oar off the side bottom of the boat, and he picks up this oar. We're in the middle of this huge storm, and he actually starts trying to row somewhere. I don't know where he's trying to go. He's just rowing, or not really rowing. It was weird. And my oldest sister, the one who's been complaining all this time, she's so miserable. She's getting really, really seasick. She gets motion sick a lot. This is not a good situation for motion sickness. She's throwing up over the side of the boat. And every time she does, the waves come up on her face and drench her. And the rest of us are pretty much semi-dry, but she manages to get herself completely drenched from head to toe. I don't know how she does it, but she's completely drenched. And she's so miserable and angry, and she's just the perfect victim. And we go on like this. Through the night, until my dad finally sights land, he figures, okay, it's shallow enough, he drops the anchor, and we ride out the storm, and we all just kind of find these semi-damp towels, we use them as blankets, and just kind of shiver ourselves to sleep on the seat cushions. The next morning we realize, okay, so we've drifted into this cove, and there's this huge marsh swamp in front of us. My dad grabs this empty gas can that he keeps on the boat, and he descends into the swamp by himself. And there's mud, and there are tall, thick grasses that are chafing his skin, and there are these horse flies that are biting him, and he's getting these huge, big red welts, but he presses on, and he goes to higher ground, walks a mile inland to this farmhouse, this rickety old farmhouse, and he knocks on the door. And the door just creaks open just a little bit, and he sees this one eye from this old lady, and she croaks at him. She says, "What do you want?" And he's like, you know, what do you say? I totally stranded my family out in the middle in the storm in the bay, and I need a ride to the marina to get gas. And she promptly slams the door in his face. She doesn't think that this is important. And he's like, "Oh my God, I don't know what to do." And he hears her arguing with her husband behind the door. And all of a sudden, the door opens again just a crack, and he sees the eye of the old man. And he says, "What do you want?" And my dad is obliged to confess himself the second time today. And this works, and the man finally agrees to just give him the ride. And he drops him off with the gas at the edge of the swamp. Now my dad's gotta go back into the marsh, to the mud, the grasses, the horse flies, the hot sun, but he's got a full tank of gas, and he's gotta keep that above water level. And by the time he gets out to the boat, the water is all the way up to his chest, and he's struggling with this heavy gas can, and the sun is beating down on him, but he makes it, and he gets into the boat and fills up the tank, and we boat off towards our launch site, towards home. And we're all just quiet, alone with our thoughts, exhausted. And I know what my oldest sister is thinking, the one who was complaining. I know she's thinking for her. Her entire world has turned upside down. You know, the day before she just figured, if I'm with my parents, by the way, she's 13, I think I forgot to say that. She's thinking, you know, if I'm with my parents, I'm safe. But now she doesn't think that anymore. She doesn't know what to think. She just feels that everything's turned upside down. But for me, I'm 10, and absolutely nothing has changed. I see no reason why I need to change my worldview. My father went into the swamp on this epic journey into the underworld, and he returned with the gas, and he got us home. And I felt like he would do anything for us. I felt so loved. And in that moment, heading towards the sunshine, towards home, I was 10 years old. It was the summer of 1984, and I just felt like nothing bad could ever happen to me. Thank you.
Kelly Meekins.